Lord, we just thank you for another great time with you tonight. Oh, thank you, Lord. And we praise you, Father, for all you're going to do tonight. Father, we just ask that you guide us and direct us and lead us to what you want us to talk about. I don't really have a whole lot of an agenda, but I got a couple of things that I'd like to share, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that it be a good revelation to them. And I thank you, Lord, for anointing us to give it out like you'd like for us to give it out. And, Lord, we just ask for, we're still praying for revival, Lord. We're still believing for revival. We're still believing for that Shekinah glory to just come down out of heaven most any time and just your glory just fill us up, Lord. We ask that in the name of Jesus for tonight. And, Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that we're all getting closer to that one accord. And we praise you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're bringing down the deep state. We thank you, Lord, that the Red Sea is rising even as we speak. And you're taking care of business up in Washington, D.C., that evil, corrupt place, Lord. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, for your protection upon Donald Trump and his cabinet, Lord. That Lord, I just found out that they're having Bible studies up there. And it's the first time in many, 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 many years that they've ever had as many as they've had up there going to Bible studies at the White House. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you have men of God up there that are listening to you. Lord, I ask and I pray, Father, that somehow, some way that you would send someone up there that that Donald Trump would allow to pray for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Someone with some great truth too, Lord. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're doing a mighty work up there. I know that you've got this man in the office for a time such as this, Lord. And we praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be a great night with each other. And we're going to have a great time of fellowship and prayer and praise and testimonies, Lord, and some reading and some teaching. And Father, we thank you that you're going to anoint every bit of it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? What is today? Today is the 28th. All day long. Man, this month's almost gone. All right, anybody got any prayer requests? How about a testimony? Praise report? Here, I'll just pray then. I love to pray because I know when I pray, God's going to listen. And I know when y'all pray, God's going to listen too. Praise God. Lord, we just lift up Leonard to you. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to get everything done that he has to get done between now and Friday. And Father, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that when he jumps in that car and comes this way, that he'll not have any problems whatsoever. Once he gets here, it'll be a blessed time for him, Lord. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that it's not going to be a 10-hour trip like he thinks it's going to be, that you're going to be with him. You're going to fill up that car with your glory, and he's not even going to know that time has passed. And next thing he know, he'll be driving up the hill here. And, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for a mighty, mighty outpouring of your Spirit on him as he comes this way. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Hey, Tracy.
Amen.
Yeah, do what, Leo?
I was just agreeing with your prayer. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, Marlon. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I got a praise report, and I like to pray for a friend, and then I'd like to have you pray for me. The praise report is I came down with a bad cold this last week, and I got ear infection and sore throat and sinus and everything, and I've had a life history of bad ears and sore throat, and every time I get it, I've always had to get an antibiotic. I could just never get over it. I just always had to get an antibiotic. I think the last time I had it was about 6 years ago, and I got so bad I couldn't hear a single thing. My wife had to holler at me just to be able to tell me something. And anyway, our little group prayed for me on Sunday, our little Bible study group here, and my ears and my throat have cleared up. They're plumb clear. And praise the Lord, because I've never gotten over that kind of thing without getting an antibiotic. So I just praise the Lord for that. And I'd like to pray for a friend of ours. He used to be a real close neighbor here. He moved away now, but we used to work together. We both live on the farm out here, and we worked together for years. And I haven't seen him for a while. And I seen his son in the grocery store the other day, and he said he's full of cancer. He said he's terminal, just they don't think he's going to live very long. So I'd just like to pray for him. Father, we just lift up Dick to you. We just ask for grace and mercy for him. Show him truth. Give him grace, Lord. And we just come against any demonic spirits of rejection, of condemnation, unforgiveness, bitterness, doubt and unbelief. We just bind you demons up in Jesus' name that you're not able to work in Dick. And we curse that spirit of cancer in Jesus' name. We command you to go from Dick's body now. You have to be gone. And send your ministering angels to Dick, Lord, to minister to him and give him lots of grace. And we thank you and we praise you for what you're going to do in our friend Dick. And so I still got a cough, and I'd like, we prayed for it, but I'd like you to pray, and everyone agree for me.
Okay, what you may pray for?
I got a bad cough yet.
Okay. All right. Well, in the name of Jesus right now, we command the dry throat to cease. Right now, we command coughing to cease. We command the spirit of infirmity off of Martin right now in Jesus' name. Any kind of symptoms of the curse, we command it to go right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that Marlon is healed, he's delivered, and he is set free in Jesus' name. And Lord, we hook our faith up with Marlon for his friend, and we thank you, Lord, that that man is free of cancer. And Lord, he's going to tell everybody he knows that he is free of cancer because of God Almighty. The doctors can't do nothing, and that's when we're at our weakest. And we thank you, Lord, that it's going to be an awesome testimony to you. In the name of Jesus. This man, is he a believer?
Yeah, he is a believer. Kind of a, you know, not a full gospel believer, but he is a believer.
Okay. Well, all right, Lord, we just ask for your grace and your mercy upon this man. And we thank you, Lord, that he is healed. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, I might just add, Michael, this is the fourth person that we've prayed for this year that's had terminal cancer. And of those four people, two of them, they're cancer-free. They got healed. That's
amen.
Awesome thing.
Well, you might ought to tell your friend that, you know, that God heals when we believe. Praise God. Yeah, go ahead, Tracy.
Hey, Michael, can I give a testimony?
Sure, yeah. Hang on, let me see if Marlon's through. Are you through, Marlon?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead, Tracy.
Thank you, sir. Well, I went to Shop and Save, just a supermarket. It was about midnight. It was really late. But we had to get one item, just some A1 steak sauce. You guys know how it is if you don't have A1, right? So I run up there real quick. Jeremy's making mistakes, and there's nobody around. And this guy, he's probably late 20s, maybe early 30s, is a cashier. And I get the, I give him the item, and I just say, how you doing? You know, and I talk to everybody. I say, how's it going? Oh, you know, it's one of those long days. How are you? I said, man, I'm awesome. He goes, oh, you know, and he goes on and on and on about this, that. Man, 10 minutes, the guy went on about depression, suicide, anxiety. I'm thinking, man, he's this open book. I'm just thinking, man, does he do this to everybody or what? But I just looked at him. I said, look, I said, Zachary, I said, can I pray for you, man? Yeah, he doesn't know Jesus. I mean, it didn't even come up. You know, I just looked at him. I said, can I pray for you, man? I said, this stuff will never touch you again. I said, depression, suicide, anxiety. So the Lord can take it all away. It'll never touch you again. Can I pray for you? And he goes, yeah. And I grabbed his hand, and I'm not afraid of transference of spirits. I'm just not, that stuff's not going to slime me. So I grab his hand, and I mean, just really quick, Father, I thank you that you're going to take all this away. And Lord, I pray that he will search for you and know you, you know, and there it is. And it was so awesome. I let go of his hand, and he just smiles. He goes, can I hug you? All right, dude, bring it in, you know. It was cool, you know, because this guy didn't have anybody to love on him. You know, when he was telling me for 10 minutes about how this person did this person, and, you know, he don't have any kids, not married, poor guy, you know, he probably needed a hug for 10 years, you know. So I gave him a hug, and he starts to, you know, there's a couple people around, but there's nobody in line. And he starts to kind of walk out with me. He goes, do I know you? I think I've seen you before. You look really familiar. I just looked at him. I said, man, Jesus lives in me. I mean, everybody knows Jesus, right? But, dude, it rocked him, man. It's awesome.
All right.
So, I don't know. Yeah, I haven't been back, but I tell you what. And he looked at me, and he said, I feel better already. He's like, I don't feel any of that anymore. I mean, God just took it away immediately. I just grabbed his hand.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that awesome?
Amen. Yeah, it is. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're going to bring him in a mighty way. All right. What's up, Missy?
Jesus.
You got your car gassed up?
Well, it's got almost a full tank. I got gassed the other day.
Okay. So you'll be leaving Friday, won't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you call Patty?
Yep. Actually, that's why I'm late getting on. She called me back because I called her and was asking her about the
staying over.
Going to make for the pot blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, what you gonna make?
Sweet potatoes.
Sweet. You gonna put marshmallows under my nose, aren't you? Oh, come on, Missy.
No, I put butter, brown sugar, cinnamon, and nutmeg.
Well, there ain't nothing better on sweet taters than a big old glob of baked marshmallows right on top of them.
Well, I'm going to put them in the crock pot.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll put some on top of it. Ain't no problem. We'll sneak a package in there. Praise God.
They'll be so sweet. It'll make your hair turn on end.
Well, we've got the prayer team out. I told them you was coming, so we got the prayer team out. They're praying hard around here, boy. I'm going to tell you, we're praying hard because Messi's coming.
Uh-oh.
Just kidding, Missy. All right. Anybody else got a testimony or a praise report? I got a praise
Michael?
Report. Yeah, go ahead, Gano.
I would like you to pray for a young mother. I think that maybe we had you pray for her a few weeks ago, but a few days ago we saw her mother in the grocery store, and now I think maybe the situation may have changed somewhat, but she has been addicted to drugs ever since she was a young teenager. Well, now she has 5 children between 2 and 10, but she is missing now. Her mother was saying that they had no one had any idea where she is. And these 5 children are staying with this lady's, I don't know whether they're married or, but I know they're the children's dad, but he's into drugs too. So I would just like you to pray for their safety and that their mom would be found, and you know, just that the Lord would touch her, that she would come to know him, because I know he's taking her to a very deep place.
Amen. So, Lord,
there's just so much involved with it. I didn't know to touch everything, that you would do better than...
I know what goes on in the drug culture pretty much. So let's just pray, and we're going to believe that God's going to touch her. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up this young lady to you, this young mother to you that has these 5 children, Lord. These are 5 young children, Lord. Lord, I ask that you have grace and mercy upon them. and take this woman to wherever she needs to be in order to cry out to you, Lord. If you need to take her to hell and take her to a tour of hell to show her where she is, and then bring her back and show her heaven, and then, Lord, deliver her from that addiction spirit. Father, I thank you for doing that in the name of Jesus for this young lady. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to take care of these children too while you're doing that for her. And Father, I just ask and I pray that you do the same thing for the dad too. That that when mother comes back, she's going to tell him of her trip, and he's going to also come to you, Lord. I ask that you move on their hearts in that way, Father. You did that for other people. I know you'll do it for them too, Lord, because we know that when we pray and we believe what we pray, that it's going to happen. And Father, we thank you for doing that. We ask, Lord, that you send your angels right now to her to protect her from any kind of bodily harm, Lord. And I praise you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that this family is going to be brought into the kingdom in a mighty way. And she's going to have a great testimony of your goodness and your mercy upon her, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for taking care of these children too, Lord, in Jesus' name. No harm come to them whatsoever. And Lord, let there be enough food in the house for them, Lord. And I thank you for that. And we ask, Lord, that your warrior angels stand around about those children to guard them from any kind of harm, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do this. I believe it. Everybody else believe that? In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my, my, my.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Jesus.
It's going to happen.
Yes. We'll stand in faith for her for that. Amen. And for this, for Brittany's mother, too. She was really pretty much distraught when we saw her in the store.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Lord, we just lift up the mama to you too, Lord. We ask that you move on her heart to show her what your word says. Your word says when we pray and we believe what we pray, it's going to happen. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, for putting the rest in her, supernatural rest in her heart that her daughter is okay because the prayers of the saints have been answered. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And let this be a testimony to her as well, Lord, to believe what your word says. Glory to God. Let the word run through that family, Lord, in a mighty way. And Lord, make a prayer intercessor out of mama. What's her name, Gaino? Is it, you say, a Joy?
PK is the mom.
Yeah.
And her daughter's name was Brittany.
Oh, okay. Well, Lord, we thank you for touching both of them, making both of them intercessors in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in that family right now in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Okay. All righty. Anything
okay,
else?
Okay, thank you. No, that was all. Thank you.
Okay. All righty.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother. Too late, Missy. Joe beat you.
Morning. Michael, I'm struggling a bit with my temper. I just want to pray for me for Lord to show me what's the root of it, please.
Okay, help me out here, Joe. Joe's got an accent that I have trouble with. Yeah, Leon.
Struggling with anger, right?
Anger?
With temper, yeah.
Well, just quit it in the name of Jesus. You hear me? Okay, let's pray, Joe. Let's pray. We're going to believe, too. In the name of Jesus, right now, we command that spirit of anger to go from Joe right now. Whatever the root cause is, we command that spirit to go, too, in Jesus' name. Do you have any unforgiveness, Joe, in your heart? Because generally that's what it does a lot of times. Okay. All right. Well, Lord, we just thank you that he is free of that now. In the name of Jesus, we command all hindering spirits to go from Joe right now in Jesus' name. There's no spirits in there hindering his walk with you now in Jesus' name. Lord, we just ask and we pray that you place rest in his heart, that he knows, he understands that everything that goes on around him is for one thing, to get rid of the flesh. And Father, we thank you that you're the one that does it. So he doesn't have to worry about what the outcome is going to be, because we know what the outcome is. You win, the devil loses. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord. That's done. That's done. Right, Nora, that's done, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody here agrees, too. Okay, Missy. Okay, we'll pray.
I'd like to pray.
Oh, never mind. Go ahead. I thought you was through.
I'd like to first pray for Merle. We were just visiting my family over this past weekend, and someone did something that offended him, and I didn't know it until the day. I knew something was bothering him. I knew he was angry at someone, but I didn't know who it was or anything like that. And it wasn't who I thought it was, you know, or what it was. And so, you know, I told him, you know, that's not good. That's you got to forgive, you know, that anger is unforgiveness. And I, you know, pried it out of him. I said, come on, you can talk to me. Talk to me about it. You know, he didn't want to talk to me. Oh, it's nothing. I said, no, it's something because you're angry, you know. And so I pried it out of him. And someone said something to him that offended him. And I only heard like the one thing. And this person has a tendency to be kind of short and I don't think this person was, I'm not sure if this person was really intentionally being mean. It might have been just, because, you know, there's sometimes, I don't know how to explain it, sometimes there's people that just their personality, they're cut and dry, and they're not really, really serious when they say something short and curt, you know.
Well, it's not the person's fault. It's Merle's fault. He's the one that has to come to the realization that God puts these people in front of him to get rid of that flesh, you know.
Exactly. Well, and I said to him, and then there was something that I remembered, and I said to him, I said, were you upset with so-and-so for not saying something to this person about what they said? And he said, yes. And I said to him, I said, well, first of all, I said, about the person that offended him, I said, you know, this person is supposedly a Christian, you know, but I've never seen any fruit in this person. And I said, yeah, and they were baptized, but I think that was under, pressure from someone else, you know. And I said, you just got to forgive him, pray for him, and, you know, Father, forgive him for they know not what they're doing, you know, and stuff. But anyway, I said, you know, I said, you just got to pray for him. And there was something that Merle said, and I said, well, I said, you know, the Lord said that we would be persecuted. You're supposed to love your enemies and pray for them, and do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good, and you know, blah, 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 you know. And I said, turn the other cheek, and, you know, I was saying all these things. I said, do I need to say anything else, you know? Because it was kind of like in passing. He was like kind of like walking around in the kitchen or whatever. But anyway, so, I heard him say something about, you know, taking Alex and leaving. And I'm not sure what he meant by that, you know, but anyway, so it's just that spirit of rejection. that turns into
yeah.
stuff like that.
And when you've got that spirit of rejection, as I've learned, is that they don't take correction real easy. And the best thing to do with those type of people, like Merle, is to pray for them, not to correct them unless they ask, you know, what did I do wrong? But if he doesn't ask, the best thing to do is just pray for him and believe God for him, because that correction just throws a little more salt on the wound, so to speak.
Well, he seemed to take all right everything that I said.
Yeah.
You know, to him and all.
So now he's leaving, huh? Okay.
No, I don't know. See, I don't.
I'm just kidding.
No, I don't know. I, that's just kind of something I want to ask him about, because I'm not quite sure what he meant by that, and I just want to. But anyway, so.
Well, maybe he was talking about when you leave to come down here. That's what he's going to do. I don't know.
No. I think he was referring to, you know, like that kind of a situation. I think that's what he was saying. He felt like he wanted to do or whatever.
Oh, I see.
At the moment. Anyway.
I got you. Okay. Well, you want to pray for him? We'll believe, will you?
Yeah, but could you pray too? Because
sure.
Yeah. So, Father, we just Lord, I ask you to just speak to Merle, even things that I didn't speak to him, Lord. Cause him to go into your word and speak in your word how you think about this, what your word has to say about all these kinds of things, Lord. Lord, I know that when I struggle with things, you know, and had problems, Lord, when I go to your word and see what you have to say about it, Lord. And so, Lord, just help Merle to do that, Lord. And we just rebuke that spirit of rejection upon Merle in the name of Jesus, and the anger and offense and all that. And we just forbid you to operate in Merle in the name of Jesus. And Lord, show him, Lord, that if he wants to be forgiven, he needs to forgive, Lord. I didn't say that to him, but he's heard me say that plenty of times, Lord. And so, Lord, just remind him of that. Remind him, Lord. And help him to be merciful. You're merciful with those who show mercy, Lord. And you give grace to those who give grace, Lord. And I reminded him, you know, just hit it home to him that, you know, these ones in particular that he was upset with, Lord, I really don't believe that they're saved, you know. So, Lord, just help him to have a heart of compassion and love and to pray for them, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we've prayed many prayers for Merle, and we thank you, Lord, that every one of them are being answered even as we speak. We thank you, Lord. We don't know what's going on inside of him. We don't know what you're doing. But we know that our prayers are being answered. We're going to get in the rest. And when these spirits come upon him, we're going to rebuke them under our breath. We're going to rebuke them and bind them up, cast them out. And, Lord, we thank you that you're doing a mighty work in Merle. We thank you, Lord, that he is a mighty man of God. We speak it, we declare it, and we decree it in the name of Jesus, that the truth of the gospel is going to come out of his mouth in a mighty way. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that he's going to come out of that shell and be that mighty man of God. He's going to take his place in that family, and he's going to be doing the things that you want him to do, Lord. He's going to be following you. He's going to have his eyes focused on you, Father. In the very near future, Lord, we declare it and decree it in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for a wife that's a praying wife, and she's interceding for him, and she's praying for him daily, Lord. And we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that her prayers are being answered in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in that mighty man of God, Merle, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I believe it. I believe it. All right. Well, Lord, I just, let's see, when are you leaving, Friday or Thursday?
Friday.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you're going to be on Thursday night. We'll just pray for you then as far as the trip goes.
Yeah, I'm planning on. I'll be on.
All right. Good deal. All right. Anybody else?
Thank you.
I do.
Missy, you're going to have a good testimony here in just a few short little bits. And you don't know what a short little bit is, and that's probably a good thing. But anyway, go ahead, Megan.
Yes, I also had issue with anger and depression, along with rejection and condemnation.
Okay. Let's pray for it. Anger, depression, what else?
Rejection.
Okay. Well, okay. Anybody else that wants to come in and pray while we pray for somebody, that's fine. You can just take it up. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Megan to you. We bind up the spirits of anger, depression, rejection, condemnation in Jesus' name. And we command them to go from her right now in Jesus' name. You don't have any right there. We command them to go. Any unforgiveness, Lord, we ask that you show Megan if there's any there that she could repent of it. And ask your forgiveness for it, Father. And so that these demonic activities, these demonic entities don't have a home anymore. We thank you, Father, that they have to go right now in Jesus' name. Every one of you, go from her right now in the name of Jesus. And I'm telling you not to come back. She's a child of God. She's not under the curse. She doesn't have to put up with that in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for placing bold faith into Megan to rebuke them if they try to come back. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you that you're making a mighty woman of God out of her. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for freeing her up and setting her free and delivering her from all of these things that have incapacitated her over these many years. Lord, we thank you she's free in Christ in the name of Jesus. Lord, we take her by the hand, spiritually speaking, and we lift her up out of that miry pit of clay. And Lord, we thank you for lifting her out of there and putting her in the spirit world in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that the joy of the Lord is flowing throughout her heart right now. And the peace that surpasses all understanding is flowing right straight through her in the name of Jesus. And Father, we praise you for it. And Lord, we thank you for placing a hunger in her spirit to go after you, Lord, with all her heart and to absolutely surrender everything to you, Lord. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in her in Jesus' name. You believe that, Megan?
Yeah.
Amen, sister. I do too. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, glory be to God. All right. Anything else, hon?
Yeah, I need a prayer request. I'm having a cold. I had a congested nose. It's hard for me to sleep. And also,
All right, let's play.
And welcome. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. In the name of Jesus, we command this spirit of infirmity off of her. We command all the symptoms to leave her body right now in Jesus' name. We command the nose to dry up. We command the nose to open up in Jesus' name. And we thank you that tonight she's going to have better sleep time tonight than she's had in a long time. And Lord, we thank you that you love her and you're going to show your love through her by delivering her and setting her free from the demons, from the all the anger, all that stuff we prayed for, Lord. And not only that, she's healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the work you're doing in it. We're going to look forward Thursday night to the good report in Jesus' name. Amen. You believe that, Megan?
Yes.
Amen, sister.
Thank you.
Anything else? Hey, you know what? Hang on just a minute. I'm reaching through there. I'm giving you a big old hug, girl. I'm just hugging your neck right now in Jesus' name. Because God loves you, I love you, and everybody on here loves you. In Jesus' name. That's an old Arkansas hug, too. I'm just right up the road from you when I'm in Arkansas. Amen.
Yeah, Megan, just a,
go ahead, Denny.
I'm sorry, Michael. Yeah, Megan, you, when we prayed, because we prayed, you have received the things that we've prayed for. So just be thanking the Lord, be praising Him and thanking Him. These things want to come in your mind. They come as thoughts, you know. That's how spirits come, as thoughts. And you just you reject them, and you just start thanking the Lord, and you're praising the Lord. I mean, all night long, just praise Him and thank Him and pray in tongues. And because you're free. You are set free. And we thank you, Jesus. Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord. All right. Do you have something, Andrew?
There's this neighbor over here. I forget his name, but he talks to me at the bus stop a lot. And whenever he talks to me, he always criticizes about something that he doesn't like. And it was the other day, I think it was Friday, that he was criticizing me and my workplace and what I do for a living should be all closed down because it's useless. And I told him not to talk to me again ever. At the bus stop in a kind of high voice, and I rebuked him for doing all this, because it's been a few ever since I met this person. Whenever he would come to me, he would always have a complaint about something, and I guess I just couldn't handle that anymore, so I told him to buzz off, in other words, and I realized that that these things are supposed to help me to conquer the flesh, but this was the one time where I failed on that, and I did pray for him already to the Lord, and I asked the Lord to send him someone to, he's not a saved person, to help him with his ordeal and his criticism on, constant criticism on items. I prayed for myself also, and I just wanted to bring that forward because I don't want to have any dealings with criticism, because it's something I should be really familiar with, because it's been around me all my life, and I keep rebuking it and trying to get away from it. Anyways, well, that's what happened, and I just wanted to bring that forward because I was kind of thinking that what I did was right there on Friday, and just from listening now, with some of the items that was mentioned here, that I wasn't too sure if I was wrong, you know, and I was rethinking as to whether I should even ever talk to this person again. And what came out was pretty convincing for him not to talk to me, because, you know, when I sort of say something, being so tall and everything, people can fear very easily. So I just confess that, and amen. Again,
amen. Well, with people of the world, we're not to judge them because they're lost. So, just pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for cleansing any condemnation out of Andrew right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that he's back on the road. He's confessed his sin. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to place it in his heart to pray for this man because he needs prayer. He needs you, Lord. It's obvious that he's lost as a goose, but Lord, we know that you can save him and make a mighty man of God out of him. And so, Lord, we thank you for placing it in Andrew's heart to pray for this man continually. And Lord, and to believe that you're going to bring him in, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that he is free of any self-condemnation right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. All right. Wade?
Yes, we're seeking to know our freedom in Christ from the curse. But lately, a lot of things have been cropping up. I hurt my foot last week, then I burned my thumb bad, not just a minor burn. And now, for the last 4 days or so, I've been having an abscessed tooth. And I don't know, it shakes my faith a little bit.
Well, repent before it gets worse, brother. Yeah, I know.
What's that?
Just when these little old things happen, I always look back at myself, you know. Say, well, what am I doing? You know, if I'm not doing anything wrong, it's just an attack of the enemy, you know, and the Lord's wanting to test your faith, where you are in your faith. But if it's something that you've been doing that you shouldn't be doing, then that's all we got to do is repent and go back on the road and rebuke whatever it is. So if you don't know what it is, then there's probably nothing there, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, in the name of Jesus right now, we command this attack on Wade to cease right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we just ask that you place it in Wade.
My wife, too.
To rebuke.
My wife's having issues, too.
Yeah, we're going to pray. We thank you, Lord, that you are, hang on just a second. Lord, we thank you that if there is any kind of sin in their life, that you would expose it to both of them, that they would repent of it. If there is any, I don't know, but you know, and you could show it to them. And then they would be free of these curses on their life. But if it's just a test of their faith, we ask that you give them bold faith, Lord, to believe what your word says and give them the wherewithal to pray maintenance prayers, which, in other words, when you first get up in the mornings, pray that you would lead them, Lord, that you would lead every step of the way in their absolute surrender to you, Father. And we thank you for that. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you're gonna bring them along in a mighty way, and we thank you they're free of this curse. And if one another one comes up, which it won't if they keep this maintenance up, to pray protection upon themselves for the day, and to cast down any kind of witchcraft or curses that may be coming against from somebody that they know, Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name that you're gonna make a mighty warrior couple out of Wade and Jeanette in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for spiritual warfare in the name of Jesus. Amen. You believe that, Wade?
Yes, I believe it.
Okay, brother.
There's no outright sin in my life that I can think of other than maybe sleeping late. But,
no, not that. You didn't sleep late. No, you don't tell me you did.
Well, we're talking 12 hours a night sometimes.
Oh, for goodness sake, man. Well, you're a hard-working man.
Well, that's not important. I'd like to be free from the medication, but then I won't sleep at all.
That's confessing the bad report now. Come on.
No, I'm not.
All right, brother. Just, Lord, give them bold faith to walk away from the pharmakia in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. You know, pharmakia in itself is witchcraft. And I know y'all have heard David speak about that many times. So praise God. Thank you, Lord, for getting us away from that in the name of Jesus. All right, anybody else? Hey, Stephen. Good to see you, brother. All right. I want to play, if I might, a little clip. It's about 15 minutes long, if y'all don't mind. This is a testimony of a girl that died at a party, and the Lord rejected her. But I want you to listen to it and listen to what she says. I'm not going to play the video. I'm just going to play the audio. Okay? So I'm going to shut this off. And then I'm going to share the screen. And let's see here. Where'd it go? Oh, there it is. Okay.
Have you got it yet, Michael?
Can y'all not hear it?
Nope.
Really?
Really.
Well, how come?
I don't know, Michael.
All right, hang on. Yeah, she's 7 minutes into it. Hang on. Okay, let's see. Share screen. Share computer sound. I wonder if I have to have my camera on, do I? Tracy?
No, you don't. Just share computer sound should work.
Okay. All right, here we go again. We'll try it one more time.
There's something that happened with me.
Can you hear
when
it?
When I was younger.
Perfect.
This is going back all the way in 2010. So in 2010... I was at this party, and to kind of make a long story short, I had a near-death experience. And, okay, I'm just going to introduce myself kind of so you know me. Before this happened, I went to church maybe a few times, you know, when I was younger. You know, I was kind of connected to believing, you know, maybe there was something, I don't know. You know, this book says there is, this church says there is. People say there's something else besides us, but for the most part, you just kind of never know, you know. And so what happened was on February 20th, 2010, I was at this party, you know, regular party, and basically one thing led to another, and I ended up dying at this party. I had a seizure in the kitchen. So from other people's point of view, this is what happened. I'm in the kitchen. I have a seizure. Okay, I'm down on the ground. People are surrounding me. And everyone's saying, oh my gosh, like, is she dead? Is she dead? That's what their version was. I didn't see that version. Well, I did kind of, I'll tell you. My version of what happened was I was standing in the hallway and I saw, you know, yellow caution tape right in the kitchen. So I look and I'm like, what is going on? Why is there yellow caution tape? So I walk down the hall into the kitchen and I see like this big group of people standing there. And then they're all in a circle. I'm like, what are they looking at? Like, what's going on? So I look down into the circle, and I'm at a party. I'm supposed to be, you know, having a good time, but, like, there's now caution tape, and I'm like, what is going on? I look down into the circle, and I'm in the middle of the circle, and everybody's staring at me, and my body is laying on the ground. And then I am like, whoa. So I try to, like, maybe communicate with people or... No one can really hear me. I look down. My body's not there. Like, I have no body. And I'm just like, what is going on? You know, like, this is just crazy. So, like, I'm kind of scared. Well, not scared, but I'm like, okay, I, like, obviously I died. You know, I just knew at that moment, like, nobody can hear me. I'm not supposed to be here anymore. So in that second, I realized, okay, I'm dead. I look up. All of a sudden in the kitchen, I see this like huge white light coming from the ceiling to the floor. And it's just like, boom. And it's right there. And I just knew like, okay, that's home. Like that's where I'm supposed to go. So I obviously, I had nowhere really else to go. No one was talking to me. I had no body. So I just like naturally moved into the light. So I went into the light. And as I was moving up into the light, I just started to feel so good. You know, like I can't... Words kind of explain it, like, the higher that I went into the light, and the more that I moved up and further away from Earth, the better I felt. And the feeling of pleasure does not really apply to this Earth. Like, nothing can compare. Like, if you took everything that you were in favor of, like maybe getting a massage and a hot tub, your favorite music, your favorite food, your favorite drink, everything that you love happening to you all at once, no matter what it is, all at once, it would not even closely compare to the pleasure that was just within that light. And as you moved further into, like further away from this earth, the pleasure felt even better. So you just moved up, it felt better and better. It was insane. So anyways, as I'm moving, like as I'm going up into the light, like you could just tell you're moving up, I looked to my side, and, like, the dark was disappearing. So as I looked to the side, like, the earth turned into blackness. So the earth kind of turned into black matter, and, like, all the objects and everything just kind of turned into this dark blackness. And then all of a sudden, as you're moving up into the light, which is white, right, whitish light, the black starts disappearing. So all the black goes away because the light's taking it. And then the craziest thing was when I looked behind me, like all the way behind me from where I came from, I saw Earth, and Earth was like, it would be like you standing up and looking down and seeing like an ant on the ground. Like our entire universe was the size of an ant. Like, it just made you realize how insignificant this life is. And, you know, we're only on this earth for a short period of time. But after this period of time, there's an eternal life that we have to live. And I don't think many people know that, you know, or many people believe it. I mean, I wasn't really sure. I didn't really, like, 100% maybe believe it before this happened. And then after this happened, I was like, whoa, you know, there is a place you go. And, yeah, it's just, it's important for people to know that. So anyways, I saw this and then it disappeared. So now I'm completely up in this light and, I'm just, I see my whole life like flash before my eyes, and I feel like amazing. I don't go any further, it's just light. But I saw my whole life like flash before my eyes. Every person I knew, every thing I experienced, like I don't know how it happened that fast, but I got to see my entire life all at once. And I honestly looked at my life, and I felt like a complete failure. I felt like I had lived one big selfish life, which was only directed to myself. And I never helped anybody on this planet, or I never gave anything. Like, I mean, to a substantial amount. Like, really, I just felt like I lived a life that was, I guess, now I know the terminology, but like worldly, you know. So that kind of like, it was weird because, you know, there was that one disappointment up there. So that was kind of strange. Just to look at my whole life, like, that seems so big on Earth. Like, my life was so important, you know, my friends, my clothes, like, all this stuff was, like, huge priority here. And then when you get up there, you look at it, and you're like, it's kind of funny, because you realize how small this planet is and how insignificant, like, your big life really is. It's just funny. So anyways, moving past this point. So what happened was, as I looked through my life, another thing happened. My dog at that time popped out of, like, it almost looked like, you know, Mac computer, similar to Mac computer, where, like, everything flashes, like, it kind of looked like that. So everything's, like, flashing, and, sorry, that's my dog drinking water, and he's still drinking water. Everything flashed before my eyes, and then, my dog popped out, okay? My dog popped out, and then this girl popped out, and, like, I already felt so much love, but this overwhelming feeling of, like, love, when I looked at my dog, it wasn't really a picture, it was just, like, my dog, kind of, and then this girl, these overwhelming feelings of love came to me. And this girl was a friend, she was really close with me, and, yeah. So, and my dog I cared about so much. So I really cared about these things. I felt like maybe I had, like I couldn't just leave these behind. So what I said was, just it naturally came out, like I didn't have a body at that time. So it came through my mind. Like I spoke through my mind. Just like when you talk to yourself in your head. But it was like the only thing I could hear. It was like amplified, so it would be louder than my voice talking through my mouth, but through my mind, amplified. It was really weird. And then, so I basically said, I'm not ready to go. Yeah, I said, I'm not really ready to go. And then this voice, which was God, you just know, it's like this very familiar voice that almost to me, what it sounded like was like the tone of everybody else's voice. It was like, this is the voice almost, and then each of us have like a different pitch, lower or higher. And like, this was like the voice for all. And we all have like voices stemming off this voice. It was, that's kind of what, it was so familiar to me, you know, and I can't get over it. But the next thing too, is when I said, I'm not ready to leave, or I'm not ready to go, or whatever, even though I wanted to be up there, I just couldn't leave behind my life at that time. So the voice said to me, if you want to live, show it. And then the minute I said, okay, boom, it was like, back out of the light, like back into darkness coming past me, back into my body. And then I'm just like, I wake up, and I'm laying on the kitchen floor, you know, and all I can see is red, like, everywhere. Like, all I see is just, like, red everywhere, and, like, all these people are around me, and I'm, like, just coming to, and all these people are, you know, are you okay? Are you okay? Oh, my gosh, we thought you were dead. Like, they're all concerned about me, and I just see red everywhere, and I think, like, I just remember asking them, like, am I bleeding? I thought I broke my armor. I thought I was bleeding. I could see blood everywhere. I just saw red all over. And I'm like, am I bleeding? Like, what's going on? And they're like, no, you're not bleeding. Are you okay? I'm like, yeah. And then all of a sudden the red went away. And and I just, like, there's a strobe light. And that was the thing that gave me the seizure in the first place. So I see this strobe light, like, bumping. And I just, like, take it. And I rip it out of the wall, like, threw it across the room. And I think people were, you know, trying to grab me and pick me up or help me. And I just didn't really understand. I'm punching everything, like, oh, I'm back on this earth. Like, what's going on? Throw the strobe light. The lights were off. It was a party. I turned on the lights, you know, and it was just, no, you know, great. You know, when you're up there, there's nothing. I mean, I could sit here and my clothes right now are kind of uncomfortable. My hair is kind of in my face. Like, I don't want to be negative, but the reality is that it's not perfect on Earth. And there is a place where none of this exists. I mean, like, my leg might be sore right now. I might have to adjust my seating because, you know, we get uncomfortable at times. My throat is kind of dry. I mean, I can go on. Just everything, like the light might be too bright in this eye, I could be wearing sunglasses. You know, this sounds really stupid, but the fact of the matter is, you know, life here, there is darkness here, and there is no perfection here. And to actually be able to believe or to know that there is a place where there is only good and there is no bad there. It almost doesn't really make sense. It doesn't, like, to us it doesn't, because we're from this earth, and on this earth we have good and we have evil. And the hard thing to realize is beyond this earth there is a place of all good and there is a place of all evil. And when we come to realize that, I think that's really important to help us get through this life, because we're only here for a small time. And, you know, I mean, I'm like 25 now, so say I die at 70, if the world lasts that long, who knows, you know, but if I died at maybe 70, 80, that's less than 50 years left on this planet, and then I have eternity somewhere else. So just keep that in mind, even if you want to, like, for the simplicity of human beings, pretend we only live 1,000 years, which I know we don't. Pretend just for simplicity. If we're going to be thinking about, like, 50 fun years here, which, I mean, my whole life before was just, let's just say I was not part of the good crowd. I was part of the bad kids, you know, partying all the time. Not bad kids, but just, you know, getting into trouble, you know, doing anything I wanted. Now I've learned these technical words, but doing, like, worldly things, you know, and I just realized that there's so much more to this planet than just that, you know, and I'm grateful that God gave me the experience to be able to tell you guys this. And I'm not really a person that likes to share these things, you know. If it was my way, I wouldn't say this at all. Like, I would actually just avoid this entire thing. And I wasn't going to tell anybody. I told people close to me, but I would never imagine making, like, a YouTube video. I don't really, you know, I'm kind of shy that way. I don't really need to share things with, well, the entire world, for that matter. But I just felt like this was a story that could help maybe even one person. Like, hopefully, at least one, realize that there is life beyond this life, and it's important that we realize that, pretend we even live 1,000 years, we live more than that, but for simplicity, that the 50 or so years that we live on this planet, I'm 20, so if I died at 70, you know, 25, the 50 or so years, 70 years that we live on this planet, is not worth eternity in somewhere that we do not belong. We belong in that beautiful place where we came from, with God and doing things that we deserve to do. And, well, if our actions are right and stuff, but, you know, we are born to come back home. And it is this feeling of home. When you go, when I went there, it was just like I was home. You know, I didn't want to even come back. Well, I felt the need to, but I didn't want to. Anyways, this is just a cry for you guys to just wake up. Yeah. And another thing too is I wanted to mention, I didn't get to see anything past the light, but I've looked at other YouTube videos, and I'm going to post other people's, if I can. I'm not sure if I can figure it out. I don't really use it. But I'm going to try to put other people's videos, because other people have went into the light, or I've went, or they've had death experiences, but they went all the way, like, into heaven. Some people even went all the way into hell. So this is pretty interesting. And I think you guys, if you watch my video, try watching their videos, because it's probably better. Well, not better, but it will probably go more in depth about, you know, life after death. So good luck, and thank you for listening.
All right. Now, after hearing that wonderful story, did anybody hear anything wrong? What was missing out of that?
Repentance and believing in the Lord.
Okay.
I just got on it, but she is she live now with us?
Oh yeah. Yeah, she's alive.
No, I mean, is she on the conference call?
No, no, I shared it off of YouTube. That was a testimony of a young lady, 25 years old, that back in 2010 she had died at a party, Malcolm, and then God took her to heaven. What was missing was the name Jesus.
Where was Jesus, or anything to do with the gospel, or?
Yeah. Yeah. That was the big deal right there. I noticed that there was no Jesus mentioned at all. I have seen these type of videos before where the Lord takes them up there and he doesn't tell them anything, but it's left up to them to search and find out what is the way to heaven. And I don't know, you know, what the deal is, but she never mentioned Jesus' name. In that particular testimony, she never mentioned how to get to heaven. And a lot of times, you know, they talk about the light, but they don't mention who the light is. And that's what I found kind of different.
Well, the angel of light in the New Testament, you know, Lucifer is... I think the term Lucifer is light.
Well, he can show up as an angel of light.
Yeah. But what does the name Lucifer mean?
Day I think it star. Means...
Say it again, Leon.
Day star.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't know. I just got finished listening to a good part of Genesis and first part of Exodus, and God's dealing with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and then eventually Joseph and Moses. And I've got that going through my head. And I was trying to. I just got on and I just started hearing what this girl was saying. And I was thinking. My, what a dichotomy. It's like, here my heart is just kind of going with the great plan of salvation and what Jesus is doing for us. And he came from all these people that were, you know, in Genesis.
that was his lineage. I mean, his genealogy came from there. And I was just thinking, wait, how does this going to heaven thing pertain to the whole gospel and salvation and our role here on earth and our walking with God and being one with Him and that great privilege that we have. Anyway, that's not to discount this precious girl's experience. Because we all have different experiences, and I'm not saying that it's invalid at all, or that she shouldn't have shared it or anything, you know.
Well, I think she should have shared it, but I think that you always want to know, how do you get to heaven, you know? How do I get there? You told me that it's there. Okay, that's great. But now I need to know how. And that's the only thing that was... I've seen some like that with people that don't mention Jesus that are spiritualists. They're not Christians at all. They just believe that when you die, if you do good works, if you do this, if you do that, you know, you're going by work. What are you eating, Willie? That looks good, brother. I caught you. Go ahead, Leon. Go ahead, Leon.
Well, I think that's why she was bringing up watching the other people's videos, that she had watched other people's and that you should watch other people's videos as well, because she couldn't, she didn't have anything to say about it, but I'm sure that other people do.
Mm-hmm. Well, it could have been. Could have been. You know, not to even Blake, being not a Christian, knew that the only way to heaven was Jesus, you know, after being a drug addict for so many years. And that's what I was saying. That concerned me. You put a video out there. Well, there's a lot of religions out there that talk about heaven, but they don't go through Jesus in order to do it. And that's just me. I just wanted to point it out. Anybody see anything in there that was different?
I did like how she said how his voice like was the source of all voices.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like the Lord throwing her some breadcrumbs to see what she gonna do with it.
Yeah. Amen.
I thought that part was interesting.
Yeah, I did too. I thought I'd never heard that before. She said God's voice is an amalgamation of everybody's voice, it sounded like.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, basically. But that's all I got to say. I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, she talked about going back to where we belong. We don't belong there. We didn't come from there. The whole new birth is a new birth. It's a new thing. It's not what we had coming to us, and we don't deserve any of that. You have to recognize that's her understanding at the time she made the video, that we deserve this, and, you know, it's like typical of advertising agencies. You know, they'll say, you deserve, you know, this TV or this, you deserve a car that, you know, whatever.
You deserve a break today.
At McDonald's. No, I'm sorry.
Say amen.
I heard that back in 1970 when I came back to the States for a year.
Well, she was very sincere in what she saw. She was sincere in her trip. She knew she had taken the trip. And I pray that she would, that she did, that she understands that it's Jesus Christ is the only door to heaven. That's it. I ain't no more. It's not that you just do, of course we all know this, you know, it's not good works that gets you into heaven. It's faith that gets you into heaven and acting on that faith and bearing the fruit of Jesus. Yeah, Andrew.
For me, when I was listening, I was actually thinking this, she needs someone to give her the gospel and she needs prayer, actually, for someone to come along and give her the gospel. Hopefully that happened already for her.
Yeah, I hope so. It was actually uploaded in 2016, last year. So hopefully somebody has gotten to her and given her the gospel. I noticed that, which is quite unusual in those type of videos, she had well over 500 thumbs down, whatever that meant, you know. She also was wearing a kind of a risque dress at the time. So that's the reason I didn't want to show the video. So I don't know, you know, let's pray for her. Lord, we lift that young lady up to you. And Father, we ask and we pray that the Lord of the harvest would send someone that she would listen to give her the truth of the gospel, the very truth of the gospel, not this, oh, ask Jesus in your heart business, but Lord, the repent and believe gospel. And Father, we thank you that you're going to do that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that she's going to come in. She's got a mighty testimony, but Lord, she needs to put an end into it. And that is that you're the way. You're the only way to heaven. And Father, we thank you that you're going to do that for that young lady in Jesus' name. Amen. I listened to another one the other day. And this was very telling to me. This was a young lady that had been going to church all her life. She'd been going to Sundays and Wednesdays and Sundays and Wednesdays her whole life. And she was in a bad car wreck, went to heaven, died and went to heaven. And she got up to heaven and the Lord rejected her. And he told her, he said, depart from me. I don't know you. And she said, but Lord, I love you. I've spent my whole life in church. I've spent my whole life doing this. I've spent my whole life doing that, you know. And all he told her was this. He said, go back and seek me that I might be found. And back she went, changed her whole attitude about church. And not to listen to preachers, but to get the gospel for yourself. I can't find it, so I wish I could, but I can't find it anymore. But anyway, we'll talk about it. That's what the gospel is. That's the truth gospel right there. Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's not who you're associated with. It's not what assembly you're in. It's not what preacher you're listening to. It's what you're bearing that counts. If you're bearing fruit, 30, 60, 100 fold, that's what's going to get you in. You're not going to get in on the coattails of some preacher. You're going to get in on your own salvation. Praise God. It's got to be ripe fruit too. Can't be green fruit. Can't be rotten fruit. It's got to be good old fruit. And another thing I was reading the other day, and this is, has anybody here ever heard of Anna Roundtree? Yes, I see Stephen and Missy and some other people shaking their heads. Yeah. Have you ever read that book? What is the name of that book? The Heavens Opened. And it's a book about her experiences visions that she had in heaven. And one of the things, and I've just started this thing, reading it just a little bit here and there, but one of the things that was telling to me is when the angels wanted her to answer questions from them about healing. And she was talking to these angels that were being prepared for the healing ministry to come. The gifts of healing that are going to be here shortly. And the questions that they asked, you know, was, don't the people believe the word of God? And she would tell them, she'd say, well, most Christianity don't believe that God heals. They don't believe that God delivers and sets people free. They don't believe a lot of the word. And they were just incredulous in their reaction to what she said. They were shocked that they didn't believe, that the people here didn't believe the actual word of God. They said, they don't believe that it's God's word. You know, and that's more or less what they said. And it's real telling. Because they know when God speaks, things happen. They know that when God spoke the universe in existence, it from nothing, that it happened. And when God says, by his stripes you were healed, we're healed. That's the truth. And they knew that all of those things, the promises in the word of God are the promises of God Almighty. And for us not to believe that is a slap in the face to the Lord Jesus. It's a slap in the face to God. And that's why they were so shocked about that. And it's just a very, and that part there, I stayed with it for a while and I meditated. I said, that is so true. How God can be offended that we don't believe that he heals, that he delivers, that he sets people free, and that he can set us free from sin. And that we can walk this holy life while we're even in the flesh. We can walk the holy life if we just believe what the word says. And so that was kind of telling to me. Has anybody got any comments on that part of it? I know for a fact that most mainline denominational churches don't believe the word of God. They don't believe it. I don't care if they're spirit-filled or not. They don't believe the word of God and what it says. You know why? Because they don't read it and study it and meditate on it.
I think that is the Anna Roundtree is the book that says Heaven Awaits the Bride or something like that is the name of the book. And there's a part in there about like a God has a warehouse. Yeah. No, that's a different one. That's a different book than I was thinking of.
Okay.
But I think there's a part about the God's got this warehouse full of body parts.
That's this one. That's this one.
Well, maybe I have a different cover on it. I don't know.
Maybe so.
But it's got a body warehouse full of body parts, you know, like eyes and stuff like that. And just people just have to believe, and then they would get the parts, but they didn't believe, so they would just stay there in the warehouse.
Yeah, and it's a confirmation, Stephen, of what Robert Slearden saw up there, too. If you remember his trip to heaven, he went up there and he saw this warehouse that had vines growing over it, you know. And he asked the angel, he said, what is that? He said, well, these are body parts of peoples that have prayed for healing, and they gave up because they didn't get their body parts when they thought they should. They gave up too soon in their faith. And then this lady here, I saw that myself the other day. I said, look at here, there's confirmation on that body parts warehouse up there in heaven. She saw the same thing. She saw a little more detail. She saw them in there working on the body parts too. You know, whatever that means. Cataloging them and putting them up, and putting them in the warehouse and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, if you need a body part, man, ask for it. It's there. He's got enough of everybody.
It makes you think that God's given you a trial to test you to see, are you going to endure in the faith to the end? And is to try to get you to stretch out your faith a little bit so that you look to see the end from the beginning and you stand in your faith as opposed to sort of an instant mentality like a lot of us have today, instant fix mentality, but wanting to see if we're going to hold true to the end.
Amen. Yeah, it's that McDonald Christianity, right?
Yeah.
I want it now. Well, yeah, I believe that. That's what Robert Slearden said the angel told him, said that they believe, and then they quit believing before they get their healing, their miracle. In the days to come, we're going to see a lot of lame body parts leave out them warehouses. That warehouse is going to be dropped down considerably. Thank you, Lord. Sandy's going to get that foot, too. Glory to God. She's back away from that pharmakia. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody got any other comments? I haven't read a whole lot of that book, but I intend on reading it. Somebody said the other day, he said, when you get through with it, I want to read it. I said, it's liable to take me a year and a half to get through with it, you know, no more than I'm reading it. But anyway. All right, anybody else got anything they want to talk about or comment on? I got one other thing. I got one other thing is all I got. Just one other thing by John G. Lake. I think you'll like it. This is his Portland vision in May of 1920. Reverend Lake moved to Portland, Oregon to start and oversee another apostolic church. During this time, he had the following vision. He could not sleep, so he walked in the shadows of the tall trees in Mount Tabor Park. Through the park is a footpath coming down through the trees that leads out to the street where we live. And in my vision, I was seemingly out in the street. At the foot of this footpath, and as I looked up in the park, I was attracted by a quite brilliant light far up in the park. It was very slowly coming down the pathway to the street. I stood somewhat surprised, supposing it was some night man on some duty in the park, probably searching for something or somebody. As it approached, I discovered that instead it was an angel presence, and the brilliance was an illumination surrounding him. He stood a few feet from me and said to me, I have come to answer your prayers. Come with me. Three wreaths, W-R-E-A-T-H-S, three wreaths, black, pink, and white. One dropped in San Francisco, one in Honolulu. And he said, through great suffering, through much tribulation, these have conquered. China, a man, a European, was lying on the ground. Close by lay his wife. On one side of her, a boy of about 7 or 8, and on the other side, a girl of about 10 or 12. Turning to me, the angel said, these have given their all for the Lord and his kingdom. He took a white wreath, and as he held it in his hands, tears fell upon the wreath, and each tear turned into a diamond, and he was covered by sparkling diamonds. He dropped the wreath, and it lit by the head of the dead missionary. the Trans-Siberian Railway to Moscow and Petrograd. He explained the state of suffering of those under Soviet rule. Some scenes were so pitiable that my own soul was moved to tears. He said, the dragon, the great red dragon, the hater of Jesus, the enthroner of the human beast, he shall come to his end and none shall help. He wanted to ask about Africa, but was restrained by the demeanor of the angel. Only limited questions were permitted, and some he did not consider worthy of an answer. Johannesburg, South Africa. The heart of Jesus was once gladdened here through the glory, the grace, and the power of God manifested here. But human pride, formalism, and lack of faith have brought disappointment to the heart of him we love. But the glory will return, and the tried and true, those who have suffered and labored and prayed, will be rewarded. But all self-seekers shall be dethroned. In India, he could comprehend the soul struggle of certain elements. The angel said, the present struggle is not a struggle to attain a knowledge of Jesus or to know his salvation. It is rather an endeavor to enthrone the heathen ideal of human efficiency. In Palestine, he was made conscious of the enmity between the Jews and the Arabs. The angel said, the kingdom must first be in the hearts of men. In Portland, the church at Portland, to my amazement, on approaching the building, high in the atmosphere, a half a mile or more, I discerned millions of demons organized as a modern army. There were those who apparently acted as shock troops. They were charged with great ferocity, followed by a wave, and yet another wave, and yet another wave. And after a little while, I observed there operated a restraining influence that constituted a barrier through which they could not force themselves. With all the ingenuity of humans at war, this multitude of demons seemed to endeavor to break the barrier or to go further, but were utterly restrained. In amazement, I said to the angel, what does it mean? He said to me, such is the care of God for those that strive in unselfishness for his best. He discerned the heart of the angel was overburdened. In answer to this, the angel said, human selfishness and human pride have consumed and dissipated the very glory and heavenly power that God once gave from heaven to this movement, as you have beheld tonight. Now, we were now at the foot of the pathway again. He took a step or two away, and in a sort of despair, my heart cried out, angel, these are all struggling for want of an ideal. I-D-E-A-L, ideal. What constitutes real Pentecost? What ideal should be held before the minds of men as the will of God exhibited through a movement like this? During all this time, I had carried my Bible in my hand. Reaching for the Bible, he opened to the book of Acts, ran his finger down over the second page, that portion where the Spirit of God came down from heaven at Pentecost. Proceeding through the book of Acts to its great outstanding revelations phenomena, he said, this is Pentecost as God gave it through the heart of Jesus. Strive for this. Contend for this. Teach the people to pray for this. And for this and this alone will meet the necessity of the human heart, and this alone will have the power to overcome the forces of darkness. When the angel was departing, he said, pray, pray, pray. Teach the people to pray. Prayer and prayer alone, much prayer, persistent prayer, is the door of entrance into the heart of God. A white wreath is God's best, pink second best, black for those who have failed in the fight. So the angel was telling Lake, pray, pray, pray. That's the heart of God. That's what gets to the heart of God is our prayer. That is the one thing that Christians don't do enough of. We don't do enough of spiritual warfare to hold that horde of demons back. And when we learn, I'm not talking about y'all now, I'm just talking about in general, but when the church learns to pray and to intercede, oh my, it's going to be an awesome time. Revival, just like they had in the book of Acts. Revival. It's going to start. All right. Anybody else got a comment or question or an answer? I believe in prayer. I just don't do enough of it.
Yeah, Michael, we used to live right, it sounds like right off that path. Well, we were about two blocks over from that path on Mount Tabor. So...
You hadn't been laying on any graves over there, have you?
I don't think he was buried there.
Okay.
That's an active volcano in the middle of a residential area of Portland. It's still active. They have, what they did was they paved, well, they asphalted over the Calendra area, or the area where, the lava came up. But they're still measuring activity there on a regular basis. But you can play tennis right there. Just have to be prepared to jump out of the way when it blows again.
What, let me ask you a question. Do you live close to that volcano?
We're on it. We lived, this was years ago. We moved from there quite a while ago. But we lived on the, it's a very small volcano.
Oh, that makes it okay.
Still okay. Active, though. But, Portland's got Mount Hood and St. Helens across the river and just a lot of volcanic activity. Of course, the Three Sisters, I don't think Three Sisters is volcanic, but anyway, a lot of mountains around there are.
Well, why do people live there? That'd be my question. Why do people live there?
Well, it's more exciting when things get exciting.
Oh, okay. I can think of a lot better things to do than get excited over a volcano erupting.
It's a front row seat, man.
I guess so. But you say you live close to that path?
Well, I used to run up there almost every day to the top and take our dog. And a lot of people go jogging up Mount Tabor. It's a really nice place in the middle of a residential area, and it's a park, with a, and one time I was running up there, and here they were doing, they had a bunch of, films, they had big lights and screens and all kinds of camera equipment. They were actually filming a movie up there. So.
Well, right now it's a nice park. It could be a river of water tomorrow. I mean, river of fire tomorrow,
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Yeah, so it's amazing that John Lake was there. I had never read that. It must be in a book that I don't have.
Yeah, it's the one by Kenneth Copeland.
Well, I have one of the Kenneth Copeland ones, but. I remember the John Lake, the Mount Tabor part.
John G. Lake, his life, his sermons, his boldness of faith.
Well, maybe I better go back and look at it, because I think that's the name of what I got.
Yeah, it's on page 129.
I'm looking.
At the end of that chapter.
Okay.
I think that spirituality is it, and then at the end of this, where the vision is. Well, you know, the angel was telling him, it gave him a road map of what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be praying, supposed to be believing, supposed to be repenting and praying and believing and doing all the things that God told us to do. I just believe that when God's people do start praying, boy, revival's going to hit us in a strong, mighty way. Just like it did, I think Azusa Street's going to look like a sand lot compared to what's coming. I do. I believe it's going to look like a kindergarten. Because God's going to do some new things. He's going to do some mighty good things. Woo, that stinks, Missy. Well, praise God.
Yes, Michael?
Yeah.
Debbie, yeah. I feel impressed by the Lord that we should all take time together to repent of prayerlessness and not doing the work of the Lord in prayer. We should repent on that right now and renew our commitment to Him to do that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for giving us these words from you, straight from your angel's mouth, right straight from you, actually, because he comes right straight from the throne. And Lord, forgive us for not doing your work. You know, Lord, we get tied up in, oh, we got to do this or we got to do that. No, the only thing we got to do is run after you. And Lord, I say that, and I don't say it flippantly. And I know, Lord, that I have lacked in my walk with you many ways. And one of the most egregious things that I've done, Lord, is lack of prayer. You know, I pray, but I don't pray near enough. And I thank you, Father, for showing us what you want us to do. I know you want us to study your word. I know you want us to pray. And I know you want us to believe. But you want us to have that relationship with you most of all. And Lord, I thank you that you've placed that in us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. And Lord, I'm going to turn around. And I ask that you just place it in my heart to do more praying. More praying, Lord. I remember reading about Lester Summerall, that he prayed for hours with a huge world map up ahead. He knew a lot of the world leaders back in his day. And he'd have pins stuck in these capitals of these leaders, and he had the names of these leaders up there. And he'd pray for hours up there for those. He'd come in real early in the morning and pray in his office. And do that, Lord. Place it in our hearts to just pray for the people around us, Lord. You know, we don't know, most of us don't know world leaders. We know our country's leaders, and we need to pray for them, Father. Place that in our hearts. Do that every day, to pray your protection upon them, Lord. And the things that you have told us you won't pray for, Father. You do that to us every day and every morning in our prayer time together here. And yet, a lot of times I just stick that computer back in the hole back there and put the charger on it and forget about it without even looking at it again. Lord, place it in me to go ahead and get it out and see what you're saying to us. And to pray those prayers that you want us to be praying for, Father, in Jesus' name. Okay, somebody else, go ahead. Lord, I just pray, and I pray for everybody here that you would convict our hearts to want to pray more and to intercede for each other. Lord, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Anna.
I just want to confess that I've been very guilty of prayerlessness too. So, Lord, I just ask you to forgive me, and Lord, I don't have it in myself to pray like I need to pray, Lord, and I just ask you to put that in me, Lord, that you would help me to be disciplined, Lord, to cast down distractions, to put you first, to make time for prayer, and everything else has got to fall in around that, Lord, that you would give me that conviction, that you would do that work in me, Lord, and I confess that I haven't prayed the way I need to, Lord, and I just ask that you would forgive me and put that in me, Lord, and I just trust you to do that in me, Lord. I thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Father, I too want to repent, Father God, of prayerlessness, Father, of not longing, not desiring, God, to pray, Lord, like you, Father. God, you've called so many of us away, Father. I feel you've called me away, Lord. You've called Denny and us and myself away, Lord, to a place, Lord, away from distractions, God, Lord, God, to seek your face and pray. And we get into your word, and I thank you for that, God. I thank you for so much that you've given us, God. But I pray now that I would receive that burden, God, that burden to pray, Father, for the lost, God, to pray for, God, so many things, God. And just by allowing you to pray through me, Father, I pray that you would just move me, God, and draw me to the place of prayer, God, and, Lord, cause me to obey you, God, and to come to you in that place of prayer, Father, to pray as you pray, Jesus, the Lord God, that we're to be like you, Father. So, Lord, I pray you help me, Lord, to be more like you in that place of prayer, Father God. I know that we can impact, and that I can impact so many things by taking that place of authority you've given me, Father. So I just ask your forgiveness too, Father, for being negligent of being that praying person you want me to be, Father. Just help me to do so, God. Do it through me, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Father, I pray you put it in my heart to love to pray and to communicate with you, and just put that desire in my heart. And Father, this is confirmation, because I was listening to you being broadcast earlier today, and it was Michael Hare talking about the sin of prayerlessness. I think it was back in May or something, you talked about it. And just listened to it earlier this afternoon.
Amen. Prayerlessness, yeah. That's what God knows that is happening in the church world, is prayerlessness. Anybody else?
Lord, I just come before you right now, and I thank you for giving us the privilege to even pray, to come before you. Lord, I repent of all the times that I've put myself first and I didn't put you first, times that I could have prayed for other people. Lord, I pray that you give me a desire and a longing to pray for your people and to pray for people around me. Put things in my heart and my spirit to pray for, Lord, and to use my time wisely. Not just repent of anything else that I've done, said, or thought, or entertained. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your presence, God, that surrounds us each day. Thank you for being with us, God. Thank you for your love, for your peace, for your kindness, for your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Father, I ask you to forgive me for not praying like I should either. I ask you, Lord, to help me to just to cast down every distraction, wandering thoughts and just to focus on you and what's on your heart and what your will is, and to pray according to that, Lord, and just help me to just keep focused on you, Lord, and to put away anything, Lord, that would distract me, not to even pick up anything that would distract me and keep me from praying or even being in your word at times, Lord, and just supernaturally give me the ability to not be antsy and just distracted with all the cares of this life, Lord, because all of it's just vanity, Lord. There's nothing, Lord, that's more important than you, Lord. And I just ask you to give me a love for prayer, a greater love for you, and an even greater love for your word, and greater hunger and thirst for your righteousness, Lord. And I just ask you to give that to me and to all of us. A supernatural way, just to anoint us all with that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, thank you for working in us. Thank you for showing us our shortcomings, because of the lack of you. Father, pray for us, to be in your word, to be in your presence, to learn more from you and not be distracted from this world. Thank you, Father, for doing that for us. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Yeah, Mike, in Ephesians 6, it's talking about putting on the breastplate and putting on, you know, shouting your all the different weapons we have. Then we get down to verse 18, it says, do all of this in prayer, asking for God's help. Pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. For this reason, keep alert and never give up. Pray always for all God's people. And pray also for me, that God would give me a message that I am ready to speak, so that I may speak boldly and make known the gospel secret. But I mean, it's pray, you know, it's always prayer. Even all the weapons of warfare stems with prayer. Thank you, Jesus. I remember when I was a young Christian, I'll hurry in this, and a group of us went to a meeting, and there was a prophet there named Dick Mills, and he was really famous for being real accurate with his prophecies, and he just would spend the night prophesying on people, and we were all sitting in the same row, and he comes right down the row, and I think there was five of us, and we got to me, he just said, God will answer your prayers. And he goes on to someone else. He's given all these lengthy prophecies, you know, different things. And as a young Christian, I walked away and I thought, boy, I might get chipped, you know. That's all. You know, now I realize how important that is.
Absolutely.
Prayers, it's like, hallelujah. Thank
absolutely.
You, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. All right, is that everybody? All right, well, Lord, you heard our prayers. Place it in our hearts, Lord, to want to pray. And Lord, thank you for keeping these sneezes down. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you're placing the prayers in all of us, the intercessory for all of us, Lord, and teach us that when we don't even know what to pray, that we pray in the Spirit. That's a mighty powerful prayer. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, that you are making great prayer warriors out of all of us. We know that when we pray, that things happen. Things happen. You have your angels on sitting around there waiting on us to pray. And Father, we thank you for that. Lord, we ask for your protection on each and every one of us, Lord, until we meet again Thursday night. We thank you, Father, for all that you do in each one of us. And Lord, we just ask that you put it in our hearts to want to get in the Word and to pray and to do all the things that you've asked us to do, Lord. That just like that woman said, there ain't nothing matters on this earth but you, Lord. That's the only thing that matters. Everything that comes up before us is as nothing. It's just rusted stuff. And Lord, we thank you that you're placing it in our hearts to store up the treasures in heaven rather than down here. And we thank you, Lord, that you're doing that in each one of us in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for these mighty exciting times that are coming up. Prepare our hearts to be able to minister your gospel, Lord, when we need to. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. We'll see y'all again Thursday night. Let me get everybody...